Welcome back to the Renaissance Space podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Bec Richardson here with me this morning. She's at Urchester Primary School, and just talking to her before we started, she seems to have many lead hats on. So rather than me describe them, I'm going to ask her to do that. And welcome, Bec.
Thank you very much. Yes, I've been at Urchester for a good 12 years. We're a two-form entry primary school in a village in Northamptonshire, and we have 25% PP pupils. I'm reading lead, Key Stage 2 lead. I also am a Key Stage 2 lead moderator for county, and I'm writing and presentation lead across our trust, which is three primary schools and the secondary school, which is an interesting part of the job. So yes, many hats.
Gosh, yes, very many hats. And it's often the case, isn't it? It's once you get into leadership.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's like, oh, well, you can obviously do this, this and this. Well, I still got a day job. So being involved with secondary, just talk about that for a moment. How does that pan out?
It's really interesting. So I work really well with an English teacher up at the secondary school, and we do a lot of moderating together. So whenever we do any year six writing moderation, she comes along as well. And I mean, the last meeting was incredible. She said a greater depth writer in year six is equivalent to a GCSE level 9. Wow. Which kind of blew our socks a little bit. And working at is a GCSE level 4. So it is really interesting, and I go up and observe their lessons. They come and see our lessons, and we share. We had a trust day where I led some stuff about plugging the vocabulary gap. So yeah, it is a really interesting thing, and we took some books up as well, and the teachers were looking at our year six books, and they were just blown away. So they've realised that there is a real gap there. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. And very supportive.
And lovely that you've got that relationship, because as a year six teacher, obviously yeah. Transition is major.
Yes.
And however much people say, well, it's not just year six where the SATs are important, because it's a team effort. The pressure's on you, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then when you're talking to a secondary school, you're almost baring your bones, aren't you, to say, well, what do you think? How are these children when they come up to you?
Yes. And it's always, they feel like your children. And when they go up, you always worry about them. But to be able to hand over information and things, it's really good. But as well, it's secondary school realising when they looked at a SPAG paper, they said, but we introduced things like relative clauses and they don't say anything. I said, well, no, they've been doing those since like year three. And so they're like, oh, right, okay. And even the history lead said, but you teach about propaganda. And you said, we introduced that as a new thing in year 10. So, yeah, no, they've done it in year six.
There's always that disquiet a little bit, you know, well, when they go to secondary, they just redo everything they did at primary. And we say it with tongue in cheek, but I think it does happen. So the transition conversations don't happen enough, do they?
No, absolutely not. But yeah, we're quite good at that. We're quite hot on that. So lots of work to be done, but, you know, we've made a really good start. So
nice. So year six, and I mentioned SATs already. So presumably that's high on the agenda in your class, in your year group.
Yeah. We're so I actually for this year, I've dropped down into year five. I've been on the SATs treadmill for about 20 years. So I thought, oh, I've got a year off. And then the year six teacher went on maternity leave. So I've got 1 foot in five and 1 foot in six at the moment. We've been using Accelerated Reader we've looked at the SATs predictions from our AR data. Yes. So we've got 73% predicted to be apt on their reading, and Accelerated Reader predicted 78. So we're like, oh, okay, let's have a look. At the children that we hadn't quite got there, but AR had, looked at their gaps. So we've, because that only amounts to three children, looked at those and looked at what their gaps were. And we've been plugging those. So yeah, it's been really helpful.
So do you use focus skills and things like that then, Bec? Or?
Yeah, we do. Not as much as we could do, I think. So, but we do definitely. And then we've been using it alongside Grammarsaurus. So plug in other products. Grammarsaurus published some great things called Sat Smasher, where they really target those 3-mark questions and the sort of the inference and things. So we've been using those alongside the focus skills to be able to go, right, these are our gaps, let's plug them.
Nice.
Fingers crossed we could be at that 78%.
That would be amazing. And I think having that insight, it just gives you a bit of a comfort blanket, doesn't it? Because you can never really, I mean, in the end, they aren't machines, they aren't robots, they're children, they're emotional, they come to school with whatever went on the night before and all of those things.
Absolutely. And you'll get the children that just, when you get the results, so you go, well, where did that come from? And you always get those that really, the nerves get the better of them. And, you know, you can't ever predict how next week's going to go.
Absolutely. So teaching English, that's a big statement. How does that work in the school? How does it, is it still very much an hour a day, or is it embedded across the curriculum? How does it work?
Our English lessons are actually about an hour and 3/4 long. So our morning, when we realise, you know, our maths and English are our major issues. So we split. So our whole morning is basically maths and English, which sounds, at first we were like, no, that's awful. That's far too much. But when you break it down and you're doing your SPAG stuff, you're doing spelling stuff, your handwriting, you know, you'd need that time. And when we're writing or we're reading, to be able to have that length of time is superb. And we do. So we don't follow any schemes. We really try and we've created our own curriculum where we're looking at. So, for example, year 5, North and South America was our big topic last term. So we were going to read The Explorer alongside it. So if you haven't read The Explorer, superb book, absolutely brilliant. The language is just phenomenal. And my class were, they absolutely loved it. But what we do, before we start reading any class reader, we like to switch the children's televisions on in their heads. So we really try and give them lots of knowledge before we start reading. So if we said to the children, you know, this book is set on the River Amazon, you know, they're picturing the Nen, the Thames, you know, they can't picture that. So we do an awful lot of work on the geography or the history of a novel before we start. So when we were doing The Explorer, loads of pictures of the Amazon, some of the soundscapes from it, looking at the maps, where is it, and all those kinds of things. And we were actually using books from Myon as well to really help build that picture in their heads. So they were able to go away and read those books on the Amazon, and we were using them in class. So that before we even started that book, before we even started reading, all of that was up there in their heads. They could picture it. And we're ready to go, so that you're not having to stop every 5 minutes, you know, and you can really get into the book. We try and do that for every class reader that we do. So again, I'm reading Holes now, so we've done Texas desert, how hot is it, all that kind of stuff before we start reading.
It's that background knowledge, isn't it, or prior experience, which some children have in spades and others just don't have that literacy capital, do they?
I haven't got a clue.
So, I mean, that's really nice. And it's nice that Myon's supporting you in that, because having books that you can share in the class, whole class approach, looking at the vocabulary, it's a technical language as well, isn't it? Pulling that out.
Yeah. We do a lot of we look at the vocabulary a lot as well. So every class sets a project on Myon every term. So we set 2 to 3 books that tie in with the topic, so that they've got that background knowledge and they're reading alongside what we're doing in class. It's great. I had a lesson observation by the head who always queries, you know, every year budget, you know, can, you know, Myon AR, and I have threatened to sell a kidney to keep them. The burst is currently looking into how much I'm going to get for it. But, you know, a head teacher was in my class doing a lesson observation, and one of the kids said, oh yeah, I read about this on my Myon book. And then it was just like a ripple. Oh yeah, they firing out these facts, and I've just stood in the corner, you know, perfect, brilliant, well done, kids. Our library is incredible. We've got a library. We're so lucky. We have a librarian and we have an amazing library. It's huge and it's right in the centre of our school. And what my aunt gives us is thousands of non-fiction books that otherwise we just wouldn't, we can't afford that. We wouldn't have access to that. And our AR data tells us that our children are reading loads and loads of fiction, but not quite so much non-fiction. So having my aunt and setting those projects has given them access to all these non-fiction books. I know there's fiction on my aunt as well, but we tend to lean to the non-fiction bit. So we've now got every child is reading at least two non-fiction books every term as well. Nice. So it's sort of that whole approach, really.
And it's also stimulating them into wanting to read those books, because we all know, don't we, that with the best will in the world, they'll go home. Some parents may have the time to instigate that and sit with them, but most children are going to go home and watch the telly or do a club or go to an aunt or whatever it is that they're doing. The catalyst is the teacher, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've got children who don't get any support at home, and we can say, but you can get onto my aunt, can't you? And they go, yeah. And you know, for them, yes, we'd love them to be sitting with their parents reading every night, but you know, that's not going to happen for every child. So to be able to plug into my aunt and listen to it being read to them superbly as well is just, it's brilliant. I've got a child in my class in year five whose reading age is 4 years old, bless him, really struggles, but he listens to stories every night and it's modelled for him and he's reading it on the screen. And because he's a massive science head, he loves his science, he's working his way through all the books on there, so he, you know, it's great.
Wonderful. That's really nice. It's really lovely to hear. And getting children reading at home is always a challenge. And if you leave that to home, then obviously it doesn't work. Do you use, just out of interest, the record function where they can record themselves reading?
Yeah, we have shown them that. When they get up to year five and six, they're a bit more self-conscious about that. And actually, someone put on one of the Facebook things about whether that could be used as evidence for year two for their reading stats. So I suppose that's something that could be explored.
I think sometimes it's not so much for public viewing, but the fact that they can listen to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they hear it back.
Yeah.
You know, I once heard someone saying, well, you know, the teachers could listen. I said, yes, they'll sit there for 2 hours and listen to 30 recordings that children have done the night before. That's just not going to happen. but those odd children where you do need that sort of insight. Interesting. This has been really fascinating to hear that sort of potted version of what's going on in your school across the year groups and across the topics. Is there anything else, sort of reading culture wise, or anything else you do that we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention?
Just in terms of sort of accelerated reading, I see quite a lot on the Facebook group about rewards and things and what do people reward. And we've been doing Accelerated Reader for quite a long time, so we think we've kind of got it honed a little bit, and we just focus on their targets. So we don't reward 100% on a quiz, because often that means it's too easy for them. And that's not fair on those children that really, really struggle. So all we reward is they're hitting their targets. So we give them dojos. Extra break doesn't cost us anything, and there's no more motivation than an extra break time at the end of the term. We have a crack the code box, so when they hit their target, they can come and have a go at cracking my code and winning the contents of the box. So there's always books, it's full of books and stationery, and there's always a little bit of chocolate in there as well. We always have a millionaire's tea party at the end of the year as well. Last year it was a donut one. And I think we had about 18 millionaires last year, which was really good. Nice. And we have a reading cup that we award monthly. And I look at the points for that. And we obviously do all the certificates in assemblies as well. But yeah, we fully embrace Accelerated Reader. So it doesn't like I should be losing a kidney at some point.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I think you'd function much better with two. So thank you so much for coming, and especially at this time of year where you have got your head down covering support in year six and year five. I hope it goes really well. It sounds as though you're on track, and having a little bit of insight into that probably helps a bit. Speak to you again soon, and thank you for your enthusiasm, passion and engagement.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Well, what a busy lady. All of those different things that she's doing and achieving and trying to manage in order to make the best experience possible for the children in the school and in her classes at the moment. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Beck and hearing what they're doing with MyOn and how they're using Accelerated Reader, but more importantly, how they're embedding reading in their curriculum across the school. Absolutely riveting information there. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget there are many more available on www.renlearn.co.uk/podcasts. Thank you for listening.